Shabbos Davvav. So we start off bringing in a brisa that says that if you transfer an object from a store, which is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, to the plaza, which is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, by walking through a benched area, you're chayev. That's basically you're walking from a private domain to a public domain with a carmelis, which we said is neither private nor public domain. Then, according to the Chachamim, you would be chayev. Ben Azai says you're putter. So in analyzing this braisa, we say Ben Azai holds that walking is considered standing. What that means is that it says if you picked up this object in the private domain and then you put it down in the carmelis, and then you once again picked it up and you put it down in the public domain. So since you had that stop off point in the carmelis, then you are putter according to Ben Azai. However, the Chachamim, they clearly hold that walking is not like standing, so they don't view it as walking through the carmelis. It's as if you put it down and picked it back up. So fine, so that makes sense, but where do we find a case where someone would be chayav for transferring from a private to a public domain when you walk through a putter area in between? That doesn't make sense, so we try to bring where we learn this from. So Rav Yochanan says, oh no, it's the same as just transporting anything. Right? If you transfer something, if you transport it more than 4 amos in a public domain, right? So when you hold it and walk, the entire time you're walking, you're putter. However, the second you put it down in the different domain, you'd be chayav. And this is what Rav Yochanan means. Saying this is the same as our braisa, because in a sense, each step that you take after you walk 4 amot is an unnecessary to be chayav. You're only chayav after the initial dalet amos. So basically, we can look at all the steps from right after the dalet amos to when your endpoint as an exempt area, because they're not changing your chiyuv level or not. However, even though you started at right at after 4 amot until your endpoint, and you basically had an exempt area in between, you're still going to be chayev when you put it down, which is just like our brisa, which has domain to domain with an exempt area in between. However, we say you can't compare it, because after 4 amos, in that case, the entire area where you put it down would be chayev. In our brisa, you're only chayev if you put it down anywhere but the benched area. However, in our brisa, there is a place where you could put it down where you would be putter, but in Rav Yochanan's case, nowhere you put it down will you be putter. So we bring a different answer. We say it's where you, rather than transporting it more than 4 amos, it's where you transported it exactly 4 amos. If you put it down within the 4 amos, you'd be putter. If you put it down in a place after the 4 amos, you'd be chayav. So it's basically like you traveled through an exempt area, because as you walk through those dalet amos, if you put it within those 4 amos, that would be an exempt area. And then when you put it down outside of the 4 amos, you're chayav. So this is the same as our braisa, which has regular domain, exempt area to domain. And we're just looking at your very start point. We're trying to say your very start point, the first 4 amos is an exempt area. And after that is a chayav area. So that's how we're trying to say it's the same thing as our braisa. However, we say you can't compare this either, because within your 4 amos, that's only a putter area for that person himself, because those are his specific 4 amos. However, it's chayav for everyone else in that area. But in our braisa, if the benched area is a putter place for everyone, so we need a place that's putter for everyone, not just for this one guy. So rather, we are going to try to say that our braisa is a similar case to when you transport something from a private to a public domain, and you go through the sides of a public domain. Because if you put it down on the sides of a public domain, they have like these like pegs along the streets to keep people in the middle of the street. And if you put it on the sides of those pegs, you'd be putter. But if you put it down in the public domain, you'd be chayav. So we're basically saying you're going from domain to domain with an exempt area that's exempt for everyone when you're crossing through that exempt area, and once you get out of that exempt area, you are going to be chayav. So that's the same as our braisa, that's the same as the Chachamim's opinion. However, Rav Papa challenges this, and he says, this works according to the Chachamim, who say that the sides are not considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Basically, the sides are an exempt area. But according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that the sides are the same as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and they're not an exempt area, then how does this work with our braisa? How do we explain our braisa like this? Because according to Rabbi Lazar, there is no exempt area. The entire time, you're just in a public domain. So Rav Acha Barei de Rav Ika answers that Rabbi Lazar holds that really sides are a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim when there are no obstructions on the road. If there are obstructions on the road, then he would consider the sides not to be a public domain. So there is a time when Rabbi Lazar says that the sides of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim are an exempt area, and that's how the Chachamim's opinion is formulated in our braisa. Rav Yochanan says that Ben Azai actually agrees that you're chayiv if you threw it from a private domain to a public domain with the benched area or exempt area in between. Meaning, going back to our brisa, Rebbe Ben Azai had said, you're totally putter in this case. Rebbe Yochanan says he agrees in a case of throwing with the chacharim that you'd be chayiv. Because we have a brisa that says, if you take an object from a private domain to a public domain with benches in between, the chacharim say you're chayiv, whether you take it out or bring it in, or you throw it, or you hand it over to someone in a different domain. Ben Azai says, if you take it or bring it in yourself, you're putter. However, he agrees that if you hand it over to someone else, or you throw it, you're chayiv. We quote another brisa that says there are four domains. A rishus yachid, a rishus rabin, private and public domains, a karmelis, and a makom putter, a totally exempt area. So we're now going to explain those terms. Rishus Hayachid, any private domain, is basically a ditch that has that's 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide, or a wall that's 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, and that is considered a complete private domain. A public domain is a highway, a public plaza, streets that are open at both ends, and this is a complete public domain. You're not allowed to take from the private domain to the public domain, and you can't take from the public to the private domain. If you did by accident, then you have to bring a chatas. If you did it on purpose, you get kares or a skila, stoning, or getting cut off from Bnei Yisrael, kares. A karmelis, which is, like we said, it's neither public nor private, somewhere in the middle, that's the sea, open fields, a benched area, and a karmelis. We're going to explain in a few days why, or tomorrow, why we include karmelis in this list. And we say that sea, open fields, benched areas, and karmelis are not like a private or a public domain, so you can't pick something up within it and put it down at another side, meaning you can't transport inside the karmelis. But if you did, you'd be putter. And you can't bring things in or take things out from to or from a public or a private domain, meaning you can't bring in from a public domain to a karmelis, take out from a karmelis to a public domain, the same thing for a private domain. But if you did these things, you'd be putter. And we said that communal courtyards and streets that are not open at both ends, if they have an Eruv, you're allowed to carry. If there's no Eruv, then it's Usser. And the final clause in this brisa is that you can stand on the threshold of a house, which is basically like this little spot that they had in the house right by the door. It was like this little ledge. And on that threshold, you could take things from Baal and give it to the poor. You could take things from the owner in the private domain. You could give things to the guy in the private domain. Likewise, you could take or give things from someone in the public domain. But you can't take from someone in the private domain and hand it to someone in the public domain. And you can't take from someone in the public domain and hand it to someone in the private domain. But if you did, you'd be putter. The Acherim argue and they say that their threshold is either a public or a private domain. It doesn't serve as like in-between stage. If the door to the house is open, it's a private domain. If the door to the house is closed, it's a public domain. But if the threshold is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, then it would be its own domain. So analyzing the Brice. So the Brice at the end of listing the Rishus HaYachids, the private domain, said these are the private domains. Why does it have to say that again? What's it coming to exclude? So we say it's coming to exclude Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because Rabbi Yehuda says if you have two houses on opposite sides of a public domain, meaning like there's a street, and on either side of the street there are two houses that you own, he says that you can construct a side post or a crossbeam, which are basically just like planks of wood, one going vertically, one going horizontally. And he says you can put those on both houses, and then that will basically make the space in between them one domain, and you'd be allowed to carry between them. However, the Chacham say, no, of course you can't do that. Just putting a little tiny plank on both houses doesn't change the status of the domain. And then also asking us another question on the Brisa, why does the Brisa say at the end that this is a complete private domain? Why does it need to add that? Because you might have thought that the Chachamim only argue with Rebbe Yehuda about carrying between these two houses with the beams, but in terms of throwing, then these two beams that you set up would serve to make the area between the two houses its own domain, and you would be allowed to throw it. So Kamash Malan is going to teach us that you can't, the Chachamim say you can't even throw it, right? You might have thought that you only can't carry, but throwing is fine. So it says complete to teach that you can't even throw it. The Brisa says that these are the Rishus HaRabim, after listing all the public domains, says these are the public domains. Why does it have to include it? What's it coming? Why does it have to say complete? What's complete coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude another teaching of Rabbi Yehuda that there's a Mishnah that says the rabbis were lenient with the public wells, and they only required you to have four small walls around the wells to allow you to draw water from them. Because on Shabbos, it would be carrying if you took out from inside the well and you brought it out to the public domain. So they were very lenient because they wanted to make it easier. You just need four small walls around it. So Rabbi Yehuda says you are not allowed to let traffic go through these walls, because then that will turn the inside of the walls into a public domain. But the Chachamim say, no, you don't need to do that. It's going to stay a private domain either way. That's unnecessary. So fine, so that's what it's coming to exclude, that we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, we hold like the Chachamim, that you're allowed to walk through this area in by the wells. So again, why do we call it a complete Rishus HaRabim? Because it's just keeping up with the, staying consistent with the first half of the Braisa, which said complete Rishus HaYachid. So this is just keeping the same Lashon, the same language. So why doesn't the Braisa count a desert as a public domain? Because we have another Braisa that says these are public domains, highway, plaza, open-ended city streets, and deserts. Why doesn't it say that? So we answer that the Braisa there was counting, Abaye answers that the Braisa that includes deserts was talking about when Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, when they were in the desert. The Braisa that doesn't count the deserts is talking about nowadays when no one really goes to the deserts. So again, analyzing the Braisa we had before, the Braisa says that if you transferred by accident on Shabbos, you would bring a Karban Chatas. That's obvious. We know when you do a sin by accident, you bring a Chatas. So that's just there as an intro to the law about that you would get Kareis or Skila if you did it on purpose. But again, that's also obvious. We know if you violate Shabbos, you either get Kareis or Skila. So Rav, we need this because Rav says that he found a scroll that Isi Ben Yehuda says in the scroll that there are 39 malachos, and you're chayav only once for violating them all. Meaning if you violated them all at the same time, you'd only be chayav once. However, we have a Mishnah that says there are 39 malachos. And Rav Yochanan says the reason that we have the number 39 malachos right there, that it has to say the number, is to teach that if you did all of the malachos all at once, you're only chayav to bring you're chayav to bring a karban chatas on all of them, right? So clearly, how does that make sense with this scroll? So we answer that Isi ben Yehuda means that there are 39 malachos, not that you're only chayav once, but rather it means that there's one that you're not chayav for. And our Braisa is coming to teach that hotzah, transferring, is not the one malacha that you wouldn't have to bring a karban chatas or you wouldn't get karis eskila for violating. So the Braisa said that open fields are not private or public domains. However, we have a Mishnah that says open fields in the summer, they're considered a private domain in terms of Shabbos and a public domain for Tumah. And in the winter, they're considered a public domain for both. So clearly we see that an open field can serve as a private or a public domain. So Ula answers that really the open field is a karmelis. And the reason the Mishnah calls it a private domain is because it's not a public domain. And this is just there to contrast between Shabbos and Tumah. So we use different names for them so that we can highlight the contrast between Shabbos and Tumah. But really, you don't have to worry about that. However, Rav Ashi answers that the Mishnah that we quoted is talking about a field. Sorry, our Mishnah is talking about a field with partitions on it that has walls all around it, and it calls it a private domain. The Mishnah we brought in calls it a private domain because of this teaching of Ula, that if you have an open field that's fenced in, it's considered a private domain, and therefore you'd be chayav for throwing it in. So because it's fenced in, that's why it calls it a private domain. But in general, a field would not be a private domain. So why doesn't Ula explain like this? After all, Rav Ashi quoted Ula as saying that a fenced-in open field would be a private domain. So why doesn't Ula himself just say like this? Because Ula has a problem, because if we're talking about a field that has walls all around it, it wouldn't be called a field in our Mishnah. It wouldn't say an open field. Rather, it would be called a karpaif, right? That's what we call a field that's fenced in. And so from the fact that it doesn't say karpaif, we can't learn that it's a field that's fenced in. And Rav Ashi would answer that the Mishnah calls it a private domain, and it doesn't call it a karmelis. So I can't say like you, Ula, that it's a karmelis. I am forced to explain that really we're talking about a field that's fenced in because it calls it a private domain. Shkayach.